This KPCT podcast, sponsored by Karen Pryor Academy for Animal Training and Behavior. Get the details on our professional dog trainers program. We develop, certify, and support excellent teachers and trainers. Visit www.karenpryoracademy.com or call 800-472-5425. That's 800-472-5425.
Learning theory. You and your dog are entering the world of agility together as a team, and you, the team coach, are in charge of the training process. Having a solid base of knowledge regarding dogs and training will make it possible for you truly to become your dog's teacher, making informed decisions about how to train. When you focus on behavior and make use of the laws of learning, you make it possible for both you and your dog to excel. Behavior and learning. Dogs possess many qualities that make them well suited for agility. But dogs aren't born with any knowledge of the sport of agility. We know that agility requires the dog to be fully focused on following the handler's directions while executing the various obstacles with precision and high speed, and ignoring whatever might be going on around him, smells, sounds, other dogs, and so on. The dog, however, does not know this. This means that 1. Dogs that sniff, pee, or interact with other dogs on the agility course aren't doing anything bad or wrong, they're just being dogs. 2. Agility is something we have to teach our dogs. We know what the game is about, and our dogs don't. Therefore, the responsibility is all ours. It's up to us to create situations where our dogs learn to do the things we want them to do. Behavior is what matters. As dog trainers, we need to focus on behavior, in other words, what the dog does, and let go of what we believe the dog thinks or knows. We can never say for sure what a dog knows or understands. Frankly, it's not important. Trying to figure out what's going on in your dog's mind won't help your training. Instead, focus on what a dog actually does. It's the behavior that matters. Learning alters behavior. Whenever your dog's experiences leads to a lasting change in his behavior, he's learned something. Learning is a change in an individual's behavior. The change is due to previous experiences, and it is a lasting change. As dog trainers, we're in the business of altering behavior. Our job is to set the environment so that our dogs learn the things we want them to learn. As your dog's teacher, your job is to create situations where the desired learning process is likely to take place. So whenever you wish to teach your dog anything, it pays to know the laws that govern learning. You need to understand both classical conditioning, the form of learning that governs involuntary responses, and operant conditioning, which explains how consequences govern voluntary behavior. Classical conditioning. More than a century ago, Russian scientist Ivan Pavlov discovered that if he always rang a bell before feeding his dog, eventually the dogs drooled whenever he rang that bell, whether or not they actually got fed. Pavlov had unintentionally stumbled upon a phenomenon that's now known as classical or Pavlovian conditioning. Unconditioned responses. Your dog's body reacts in different ways to different events. When your dog eats, salivation increases. When he chases a bunny, his body secretes stress hormones. When he lolls on the sofa, his body releases oxytocin, the peace and quiet hormone. We often describe these reactions in terms of emotion. The dog becomes happy, aroused, angry, scared, hungry, calm, sleepy, and so on. The autonomic nervous system controls these bodily reactions. They happen spontaneously and are beyond the dog's control, hence involuntary. No thinking or decision-making are involved. The taste of dog food, the sight of the fleeing bunny, and the feeling of quiet on the couch are called unconditioned stimuli, and the spontaneous reactions, salivation, stress, and calmness, are called unconditioned responses. Things that by themselves do not trigger such spontaneous reactions in your dog's body, like a bell, a cabinet door, or an open field, a neutral stimuli. Conditioned responses, learned expectations. If you consistently feed your dog the same way, for example, you always open the hall cabinet, fill up the bowl, and give it to your dog eventually will start drooling in anticipation as soon as you open the cabinet door. His body now expects food. Opening the door is no longer a neutral stimulus. It has become a conditioned stimulus that triggers a conditioned response, drooling. In the same way, the ringing bell came to predict food for Pavlov's dogs. This pairing of stimuli is called classical conditioning or respondent or Pavlovian conditioning. Changing already learned expectations. Classical conditioned responses are involuntary. The dog doesn't choose to respond and therefore cannot make a conscious choice to respond differently. You can change such responses in the following two ways. 1. Extinguish the body's expectations. If you start opening the cabinet door without feeding your dog, eventually he'll stop drooling when you open the cabinet door. And if your doorbell rings randomly without anyone ever coming through the front door, your dog will eventually cease to react to the doorbell. 2. Create new pairings. Imagine that every time the doorbell rings, your dog charges and barks in anticipation of a wild greeting ceremony. If instead you shower your dog with treats when the doorbell rings, he'll start expecting food when he hears the doorbell. So instead of triggering excitement about a greeting ceremony, the doorbell might cause your dog to drool and expect food. You can use such counter-conditioning to alter any classically conditioned response, and it often proves a faster and more effective approach than merely trying to extinguish the response. What does this have to do with agility? Classical conditioning occurs all the time and everywhere, whether you're aware of it or not. Involuntary responses to earlier associations happen on the agility field and off. Because of the way classical conditioning works, it's important that you avoid using harsh training methods. If, for example, you yell at your dog or yank his leash for whatever reason, you might get him to behave the way you want him to, but he also might associate your anger with you and/or with the training context. In a similar situation then, his body might start reacting as if you're yelling at him. He'll become stressed, perhaps insecure, or overly excited, even when you aren't. In a similar fashion, a dog that gets frustrated when trying to learn the weave pulls will start feeling uneasy as soon as he approaches them. To make training as easy and pleasant as possible, you'll want your dog to have positive associations to you, to agility training, and to all the gadgets and obstacles we use in training. So use classical conditioning to your advantage. Make sure all aspects of your agility training trigger happy and pleasant responses in your dog's body. Operant conditioning. If your actions have a good outcome, you'll probably do the same thing again. If the outcome is bad, you'll most likely try something else the next time. This is a fact of life, and it's also the basis for the learning theory called operant conditioning, which involves voluntary behavior, muscle movements controlled by the cerebrum. The term operant refers to the individual being active and operating on his environment. Operant conditioning is what is at play whenever a creature, through the consequences of its actions, learns which behaviors to repeat and which to avoid. What does operant conditioning have to do with agility training? Just about everything. Training entails building and strengthening certain behaviors and weakening others, and this is exactly what operant conditioning is all about. Reinforcement, punishment, and extinction. The terms reinforcement, punishment, and extinction refer to the possible effects that a consequence can have on a behavior. These three concepts form the cornerstones of operant conditioning. 1. If the consequence of a behavior increases the likelihood of that behavior being repeated, that consequence is said to reinforce the behavior. The behavior will be strengthened because it produces desired effects. Reinforcement is what builds and maintains behavior. 2. If the consequence of a behavior decreases the likelihood of that behavior being repeated, that consequence is said to punish that behavior. Note that punishment is a purely technical term here, describing a consequence that weakens the behavior in the future. 3. If a behavior produces no consequence at all, that behavior will decrease and eventually disappear. This process is called extinction. Operant conditioning in your agility training. Just like classical conditioning, operant conditioning is in play all the time. Your dog is always learning whether you intend for him to or not. In your training and in your everyday life, you need to pay close attention to what you reinforce. Dogs are economical egocentrics. They do what pays off. They never do bad things to spite you, nor do they do good things to please you. They do what works. In our training, we're biased toward working only with certain parts of the operant quadrant. We add and withhold, or remove, nice things. Thus, we apply positive reinforcement, rewards, to the behaviors we wish to strengthen. And we apply extinction, nothing happens, and some negative punishment, the opportunity to be rewarded disappears, to behaviors we wish to weaken. This approach assures efficient learning without harmful side effects. The Premack Principle. When Grandma told you, first eat your vegetables, then you get dessert, she was employing the Premack principle to get you to eat your peas. The Premack principle states that a more likely behavior, here, eating dessert, can function as a reinforcer for a less likely behavior, here, eating vegetables, and thus strengthen the weaker behavior. When training your dog, you can apply the same principle by employing your dog's favorite behaviors, the more likely behaviors, as rewards. Just consider what your dog is most likely to do in each situation, and use that behavior as a reward for what you're trying to train. If your dog is keener on running than on standing still, go is perfect for reinforcing his stay at the start line. If your dog enjoys playing more than eating, use a game of tug as a reward after he swallowed a treat. And if your dog is more eager to greet the approaching dog than to look at you, you can reinforce eye contact by then letting him go greet that dog. The better you are at applying the principles of learning in your agility training, the more efficient and easier training will be for both you and your dog. If you keep the basic principles of classical and operant conditioning in mind, you can teach your dog to do anything. Just make sure to set up the environment for good associations, reinforce the behaviors you want, and avoid reinforcing the behaviors you don't want. That's all there is to it.
This KPCT podcast, sponsored by Karen Pryor Academy for Animal Training and Behavior. Get the details on our professional dog trainers program. We develop, certify, and support excellent teachers and trainers. Visit www.karenpryoracademy.com or call 800-472-5425. That's 800-472-5425.